Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike Dettelier joins us now. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy.
We were having a conversation earlier about if the draft was 2 days, 3 days away, 4 days away. I guess it depends on when the Saints pick, right? Because you got the draft starting Thursday night. You can say Wednesday, Thursday, which would be three. But then if they don't pick until Friday night, what's the likelihood of them actually picking on Thursday night, which means they would move up?
I don't see it. And, you know, yesterday, you know, Mickey had his press conference and being there. The one thing he said it would be how difficult it would be to move up from 62 to get into round one. So this team has always been aggressive come draft time, always under Sean Payton. But I think the more likelihood is that not having a third and a fourth round pick, that this team would trade a future pick to try to get back in there. Now, that would be Thursday would be the round one. Round two would be two and three would be to try to get back in and get an extra pick on Friday, just because every draft's a little bit different, but I see the strength of this draft this year being in the second, third, fourth round, talent and depth, really good. So I think it's a kind of a long shot to get into round one and without having to give up a tremendous amount of capital to do it. And I know you're in win mode now, but you always got to look for the future too. And so I just think that Thursday we'll be going through that first round and it won't be a pick by the Saints.
In terms of some of the things they're facing, now you got Michael Thomas, of course, Eli Apple, right? They got to make a decision on him.
Eli Apple, Sheldon Rankins, Michael Thomas, Andres Pete. So you got some people here that, and this is just the start of it, because you do have a good young core of players that financially you're going to have to come up with some major bucks. And you look at the wide receiver position. That's been the big explosion over the last couple of years. We just saw Antonio Brown when he got traded, the upfront money. Odell Beckham signed a new deal last year. So you're looking at $17, $18 million a year average for a wide receiver today of the caliber of Michael Thomas. That's a lot of money today. And, you know, he is who he is. He's one of the elite wideouts in the National Football League, and he's going to get that type of money.
Now, where's Alvin Kamara? He's on the last year of his rookie deal?
He would have one more year. So that, too, comes into play here. He's not a first-round pick, so you don't have that fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you listen, it all sort of piles up where you got to kind of pick and choose who you can pay and who you can't. And we see it going on also in Dallas, where they just signed DeMarcus Lawrence, but you got Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, Amari at wide receiver. So you just got to make a decision on where you got to go here. But the Saints have some big financial decisions to make over the next year or so. What makes it tough with Rankins is that, you know, he's got the injury that he probably won't be back until October. But Thomas is the next big shoe to fall financially. And that, again, at that position where we've seen a lot of dollars being thrown at wide receivers today.
And if not him, who? Isn't that the question pretty much?
Well, if not him, you know, who's going to take his place? You know, that's the thing. Today, you can say, well, we'll find somebody else. Oh, yeah, really? It's not that easy to do. So he's going to cash in big time. Again, just look at his record. Nobody has ever started an NFL career with more receptions than Michael Thomas.
And the point I was making is you got to take him off the table. He's paid, right?
Yeah.
In other words, maybe I said it backward, but in terms of who you have to make a decision on, that's already made.
That's already made. Yeah. And I think the same thing with Rankins. It comes down to how much are you going to pay him. And again, premium positions, wide receiver, defensive lineman, Eli Apple, I think they really like Eli. Now, again, what he's going to want financially is going to be the question mark here.
All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the future as opposed to now, because I think you got a couple of different considerations there. And if you mortgage the future for now, I don't think I have to tell everybody to what I'm referring. It could be taken away from you in a heartbeat. And if that's the case, your money's been taken, if you will, if you want to look at it that way, in terms of playoff games, whatever. Then you got nothing left in a bank, so what do you do from there? Quick reminder, we got your free Jazz Fest tickets. This morning, sometime between now and 10, we're going to play the Jazz Fest Artist of the Day, which happens to be Santana today. When we play it, I'll tell you when to call in, the number, etc. 620 more with Mike DeTillier. You got any questions or comments, 260-1870, or you can text them to 870-870. Right now it's traffic on WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, draft coming up Thursday night. The NFL draft continues, or begins rather, and we'll have all the coverage for you here at WWL. More on that in a little bit. Will it start for the Saints? I don't know. Mike DeTillier, WWL NFL and college football analyst, joins us. Mike, you're saying probably not Thursday night. It'd be hard to trade up to the first round.
Yeah, it would be difficult. Again, the only championship you can play for is the one you're playing for this year. But there's also a cost to it to move up that high. Now, again, I can read a race form. And this team traded up in round one to get an extra first-round pick for Mark Ingram a few years back. They traded up in round one for Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver. They traded up in round four for David Onyemata. 2 years ago, they traded a second and a seventh for Alvin Kamara. Last year, what they did with Marcus Davenport. So that racing form is pretty long. It tells you they are aggressive and making moves when they feel as though they have to. But not having that first-round pick puts you at a real disadvantage here. And, again, you got a good core of players here. And so I don't see it happening. What I see it more a high possibility to happen is Friday and Saturday, where you get back in and try to get you a pick in those premium rounds, because you do have a five, you have two sixes and two sevens, but this team has shown they'll trade away a future pick to get back in, and I think that'll be the case to try to get back in rounds either three or four.
See, here's the thing that I thought of after the anger subsided with the Rams, and we don't need to go into all of that in the playoffs, etc., but after a couple of days, I got to thinking, well, you know, if you're all in when it comes to the Saints and Drew Brees in a window, and I get all of that, but you can be all in, you can play great, somebody can get injured, a key player, you know, you can have a referee mistake like what happened, et cetera, and then you got nothing left in the future, and the present was taken away from you, so how do you balance all of that?
Well, that's part of the NFL. This isn't Major League Baseball, where you can accumulate all these players, have them in the minor league system, and then you bring it up. We saw that with the Astros, a team that was really struggling for years, but they were able to accumulate a ton of young players that all of a sudden, you know, they hit the peak, and they ended up winning a World Series with them. But this isn't Major League Baseball. This is the NFL. It's a commuter league. It's a win-now mode for most teams. You know, and fans don't want to hear about, man, well, we'll accumulate all this and we'll try to win in 2021. What? Man, I don't want to hear that. You know, I want to win now. And so it is that balance that you have in trying to get. One of the things they do real well is they try to address as many needs as they can in free agency, which leaves the draft a little open for them to go after, I guess you might want to say, the best player available at the biggest need spots. And so they've been able to do that, and they did it again this year in addressing a lot of the needs that they had on this football team, if it was a defensive tackle, if it was a tight end, losing Max Unger, they brought in Nick Easton, losing Mark Ingram, they brought in Murray. But you still have some needs here. And so it's a spot where I know I want to win today because I have that good core of young players and I got a good core of veteran players. And you in the hunt. And you may never be back in this spot again. So my thing is, I want to win today. I don't want to talk about 2021. But I also look in the future and say, I don't want to mortgage that inability to always have that good core group of young players around me.
See, here's the thing. It's like, the way I think about it is, okay, you mortgage your future, you're all in on this way. You got Drew Brees and a team that's around him, et cetera, and you try to make it better, fill the holes, and we'll talk about that when we come back, and where the plugs are if you want to look at the NFL draft that way. To me, I'd rather be all in right now than go 8-8 in 2 or 3 or 4 years, because if you're going to go 8-8 to me, you may as well go 0-16, right?
My thing about it is, 8-8.
To me,
man,
anyway.
If you ain't in the playoffs, 8-8 is useless.
That's my point. You may as well go 0-16, get a great pick.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you see that a lot, much more in Major League Baseball. And we started to see teams do that in the NBA, too. They would tank it at the end so they could get an extra, a better shot at one of the lottery picks. But, man, you're doing a disservice to the fans that way, all across the board. If in the NFL, it's a win-now mode. I think for every team, you're under a lot of pressure to win. It's a little bit different than you see maybe for some teams in the NBA and Major League Baseball. It's win today.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, if you're a fan and you're paying the kind of money you're paying for season tickets and everything else, I don't want to hear the most hated word in sports, rebuild.
Oh, Lord, no, don't.
Yeah,
don't,
because
even
if you rebuild, then, man, tell me when you built. That's when I want to.
Yeah.
That's when I'll be back. And so no team is using that R word, rebuild.
And it's not a building that you want to walk into if it's not built yet. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Mike Dettillier, our guest, 260-187. If you got any draft opinions, draft suggestions, et cetera, right now we pause for WWL First News. And for that, we go to David Blake. 6:45, quarter to 7, talking to Mike Dettillier about the Saints in the draft. Mike, I've stirred up a hornet's nest, because I'm getting some texts from people saying, you go 8-8, you think your team can make the playoffs in the next 1-2 years, you go 1-2 years, you go 0-16, your team is wildly mismanaged and could be bad for years like the Lions and the Browns until this year. However, that could also be that you got no draft picks, you're paying for the past and the future for a long way. And I'll take calls on it at 260-1870. I think 8-8 is garbage. I think you can. What are you going to do with those 8 wins? That's my question. What good do they do you other than put you further behind in a draft? But let's move on to the draft. Now, when it comes to the best player at the biggest need in terms of holes in the Saints roster, where are they deep? Where is the draft deep? How do you match the best player with the biggest need?
Well, and every draft's different. It's a new book. And so in this draft class, it's really thick along the defensive line. It's a really good class. It's the best defensive tackle draft I've ever done, talent and depth. So you got some talent there up front. And there's some pretty good pass rushers in this group. I think because of some residual of what we're seeing now on the 7-on-7s, it's a pretty thick area at both wide receiver and tight end. That area is there. And it's a pretty good year at quarterback. The one area every year, I've done this 34 years, that as it gets closer to the draft time, they start to move up a little, is offensive linemen. There are just so many people that big, that talented. So in saying all that, it's a big man draft, and it's going to push wide receivers, corners, safeties, running backs, a lot of those guys out of the top 20, 22 picks into the latter part of round one and into round two. And that's where, for the Saints, when you pick in 62, it's a pretty far ride for you. You have an opportunity there. Somebody that can put the ball in the end zone at either wide receiver or tight end. And for me, you never have enough pass rushers. And I don't care if it's a defensive end or a defensive tackle, an influencer up front. Because nothing to me wins more games in the fourth quarter than a pass rush. And if I can get a guy that can rush the quarterback, or I can get me a guy that can score a touchdown, that's what, for Saints fans at 62, I would look for. I just think a lot of those big men are going to get eaten up early. And, again, four quarterbacks going in round one, too. So that comes into play. But I just think it's a big man draft, and that's what you're going to see play out Thursday and a good portion of Friday also.
So by the time you get to the 62nd overall pick in the second, and happens in the second round, which is what the Saints are looking at right now, if they don't move up or anything, who do you project them picking, and who do you think would be left?
I think that you're going to find a really good receiver still available. And I think because of the depth at tight end, the same thing, where you can find a guy like a Jay Sternberger, a tight end from Texas A&M, quite possibly a Hakeem Butler from Iowa State at wide receiver. That's going to be a wideout that's going to take a little bit of a tumble for whatever reasons. And it does come down to team needs, too. They talk about the best player on the board, but normally it's at the biggest need position for them. And I brought this up to Mickey yesterday about adjusting. And you've had a ton of talks about this, but somebody in the room has to hold that board together. You've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money in setting up a draft board. And there are always outside influences away from the board. You have a coach that maybe falls in love with a player. I've heard instances where an owner comes in and says, this is the guy I want. Okay? You're going to tell that multi-billionaire owner, that's not what our board says.
But I can't imagine Ms. Benson doing it.
No, she isn't. But I have heard others that have done it.
No, I understand that. I'm just kidding. But it would be something.
We had one for years, too, that had some influences on picks. The same way with a coach coming in and saying, man, I really don't care what your draft board is. I'm going to pick my guys. He went against the grain of his own scouts. Saints had a couple of them, too, throughout the years. So there are a lot of different reasons why a player will fall. Sometimes, too, it's medical.
Let me stop. Let me stop for the traffic here, Mike. We'll pick it up. Yeah, it could be medical. It could be behavior, right? I mean, a lot of different things. Mike Dettelier is our guest. We'll pick it up here when we come back. Somebody texted in and said, by your logic, what good is 15 wins if you don't win the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Those 15 wins or whatever you get you in the playoffs, then you have a chance, especially if you're 15-1, you got home field locked up. You have a chance. At 8-8, you don't got nothing. You don't got a good draft choice. You don't have a playoff run. You got nothing. At least that's the way I see it. Traffic now, WWL. 6:56, 4 before 7, Mike Dettelier, our guest. Mike, somebody texted in as it relates to Ben Watson and him saying that he would maybe want to come back and play in the NFL. I don't know if it's definite or not, but would the Saints have a place for him or not?
You know, Mickey was, he didn't give an answer to that. I'm surprised because I really thought Ben sort of knew that it was all over for him. And sometimes you can convince yourself after you've really thought about certain things that you want to play again. There's a void there. I'd be surprised if Ben came back and play, to be honest with you. I get it, and I guess we all sort of go through that in different professions, but I'd be surprised if Ben Watson came back and play.
Seems like
I think he'd be great on TV or radio because, man, he is articulate. He's smart. He knows this game really, really well. And something's got to fill that void that you've done for so many years. But Father Time rings your bell. I don't care how talented you are. Eventually that happens. And we saw that last year with Ben. He wasn't the same player.
I think we've seen it happen before, too, where when you get to April and May, the players are healed up. They start to miss it, like you're saying.
Yeah, I can play.
Yeah, and then they get back in training camp after about 2 weeks, and it's, you know what? I'm going to retire.
And I get it. I really do. I understand his feelings on that, but I'd be surprised if he came back and play.
All right, so as it stands right now, and we're going to talk to you every day and narrow this down, you think the way you got it projected, the Saints in there, if they stay where they are, 62nd overall pick, they're going to draft?
Yeah, get me a guy that can put the ball in the end zone or a pass rusher.
All right.
Get me a receiver, a tight end, or a pass rusher. Because those guys, one, I think there'll be some numbers there, receiver and tight end, that'll push you there. And a pass rusher, it's the deepest area, especially a defensive tackle, is the deepest area to draft. And so logic tells you you might have a shot of that certain player falling to you at that time, to be honest. I think that's where 62 sort of realms out. But what you don't know is, and that's the key to the draft, it's the biggest mystery. You really don't know what teams ahead of you are going to pick. You think you know, but then come draft day, there's always surprise, surprise, surprise.
Sean Payton was like that with Alvin Kamara, was he not?
Sean sort of fell in love with Alvin. He went work out Josh Dobbs, the quarterback from Tennessee, and Alvin just so happened to be there, and he sort of fell in love with Alvin. And he was going to – I had him ranked as an early second-round pick. He falls into the third round. And so, you know, the Saints were making calls and finally cut that deal with San Francisco to get him. And that's turned out to be one of the best deals in Saints history.
Turned out to be Christmas in April. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.